God bless us with just a beautiful, beautiful first day of the week. A little on the stormy side this morning. Then it cleared off, and what a beautiful evening we have to be able to assemble together with those of like precious faith and worship God in spirit and in truth. I'm glad to be here tonight, and I'm thankful for each one of you. Very simple topic on the board, if God. The topic of God is a very broad topic, because there's a lot of different directions you could go as you think about the many things that the Bible says about God, whether you're talking about the characteristics of God, the judgment of God, the love of God, the mercy of God, and the list just goes on and on. But I want us to think tonight for just a little bit about the very simple phrase, if God. And it occurs a good number of times in the Bible, and I'm going to share with you about 7 points or so concerning what the Bible says, dealing with if God. I appreciate Ethan reading from the 6th chapter of the book of Matthew, which talks about one of our points. And in that passage, Matthew chapter 6, as I know you're aware, the Lord is in the midst of giving what is commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount or the Mountain Message. And that covers Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And he's talking about man's relationship with man, man's relationship with God. He's talking about discipleship, talking about how we are to conduct our lives, let our light so shine before men, and a good number of things that he covers in those 3 chapters. And one of the things that he talks about in Matthew chapter 6 is the fact that God will take care of us. We never have to doubt whether or not God will make sure that we have the necessities of life. But as we talked about in the sermon this morning, that some things are stipulated, like our fellowship with those of like precious faith and our fellowship with God. God providing the things that are necessary in the context of Matthew chapter 6 is stipulated upon us putting Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And these things, that is the things He's been talking about, our food and our raiment, these things will be provided to you, Matthew 6 and in verse 33. And he talks about the flowers of the field and the fowl of the air, that the flowers of the field, they toil not, neither do they spin. He says, I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like unto one of these. And he talks about the birds. God takes care of them. And so he uses that as an illustration. If God takes care of the birds, if God takes care of the flowers of the field, will he not take care of you, O ye of little faith? And so we need to understand, if God so clothed the grass of the field, will He not then take care of us? And so we know that we have His Word that He will provide. And I think about a lot of passages that talk about the fact that God will take care of us and that we need to be content with the things that we have. It's not always about things of which we can put our hands on. First Timothy, chapter 6 talks about that. That the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after they erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And so he talks about in 1 Timothy chapter 6, having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. So if God clothed the grass of the field, will he not much more take care of you, ye of little faith? Then I think about a statement in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2. All these are very simple and passages that I'm sure that you are familiar with, but it does us good to be reminded about the many things concerning what God will do. In 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, but there were false prophets among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. Now watch verse 4 for our point. For if God, there's our phrase we're latching on to for the sermon. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, spare not the old world, but save Noah, the 8th person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that afterward should live godly. Then verse 7, he talks about delivering Lot. He talks about in verse 9 that the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation, to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. And so if God spare not the angels that sin. And the takeaway from that is that the judgment of God, though God is long-suffering, and we don't know how much longer time is going to go on, but He's long-suffering that He's given men and women on this earth time to repent and come unto Him. But the judgment of God is sure and will come. And we need to know that. There's not a thing that anybody will get by with. And sometimes we might live our life like, well, nobody knows. No one but me knows, and it doesn't matter. I'll get by with it. Well, we might get by with it in the eyes of men, but God knows. And the judgment of God is sure. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. In Romans chapter 14, 10 through 12, he talks about the judgment. I've shared many passages along the way concerning the judgment of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, shared with you many passages. Matthew chapter 25. Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and the book of Acts, chapter 17, verses 30 and 31. A lot of other passages, 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 1, talks about the judgment of God, and we're not going to escape the judgment of God. We sang this morning, there's a great day coming for the song of invitation, which I enjoyed very much, by the way. Getting ready to sing just a little while, this world is not my home, I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And so we need to understand that we're just pilgrims. We're not homesteaders, but pilgrims headed on to a better place to come. But the judgment of God is sure, and it will take place. But then in the book of Romans, chapter 8 and in verse 31, if God, there's that phrase again, if God be for us, who can be against us? I'm telling you, I try to remind myself, as I do others, that me and the Lord make a majority against any number of people. And I love the third psalm when in Psalm 3, the psalmist David penned, I will lay me down and sleep, I will wait for the Lord to sustain me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Doesn't matter how many people's against you. As long as the Lord is on your side, for if the Lord be for us, who can be against us? But then I think about Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, when he said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And I think about what Paul penned in 2 Timothy chapter 4. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsake me. I pray God that it not be laid to their charge. Nevertheless, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by my mouth the preaching of the gospel might be known. Then he talks about the fact that I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion and that the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me into His heavenly kingdom. Verse 18, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. In the book of 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 11, John writes many things concerning the love of God. God is love. That's 1 John, one of the themes is. And in 1 John chapter 4 and in verse 11, notice what it says concerning love. 1 John 4 and in verse 11, beloved, what's the next two words? If God so loved us, you could stop there and just think about the love that God had for us. And it wasn't, by the way, only demonstrated in the giving of His Son. But obviously, God so loved. I was just talking to a preacher this afternoon who we talked about what a wonderful sermon John 3 and in verse 16 is. If God so loved us. And in John 3:16, for God, the greatest person, so loved the greatest love. For God so loved the world, the greatest crowd, that He gave the greatest gift. His only Son, the greatest man that ever walked the earth, that gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, again, the greatest crowd, one of the greatest Bible invitations, whosoever believeth, the greatest plan of salvation in Him should not perish, the greatest escape. You can escape the fire of hell, but have everlasting life, the greatest reward. You could preach that every day and twice on Sunday. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. And you think about the statement that the Lord made in John 13, verses 34 and 35. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one toward another. But then back in the book of John, chapter 3, and verse 18, he says, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Put your money where your mouth is, in other words. Let it be by action. Show our love toward others. But then in John chapter 8 and in verse 42, we get another point about if God. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees on this occasion. And he says in verse 42 of John chapter 8, Jesus said unto them, if God were your father. It's one thing to claim that God is one's father and another that he actually is. Now they'd already said we have Abraham to our father. But Jesus said, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Well, preacher, what point can you make about if God from John chapter 8 and in verse 42? That if you love God, you'll listen to what Christ said. You'll obey what Christ said. He came not teaching his own doctrine, but the doctrine that the Father gave. And he came not doing his own will, but the will of the Father. And so, if you say God is my Father, then you'll love Christ. And make no mistake about it, John 14, 15, to love Christ is to obey him. If you love me, keep my commandments. But then I also take away from that, if you were of my Father. In other words, if the God of heaven were your Father, and I made the statement in the sermon this morning that if God's not your Father, it only leaves one other. In other words, you are submitting to the God of this world. To the devil. I think about how strong Peter was in Acts, the 13th chapter. When to Elymas, a sorcerer, he said, thou enemy of all righteousness, thou child of the devil, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? I don't want to be characterized as a child of the devil, do you? I want to be a child of God. If God were your father, you would love me. Then Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse, or Acts chapter 18 rather, and in verse 21, we make this statement over and over many times that yesterday's gone, tomorrow may never be, and the book of Proverbs says, Proverbs 27:1, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. And in the book of Acts chapter 18 verse 21, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep this feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you. Now watch this. If God will, and he sailed from Ephesus. Too many times we bank on the surety of tomorrow, and we don't know if we're going to have tomorrow. And it's akin to that statement that is found in the book of James, chapter 4 and in verse 15. It just made the statement in verse 14 that you're familiar with, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeared for a little time and then vanisheth away. And then in verse 15 he says, for that ye ought to say. What should I say? If the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. Fact is, none of us know if tomorrow's going to come. And so I don't know what tomorrow's going to hold if it does come. And so be careful about making plans. And certainly don't make plans that do not include God. But if the Lord will, if God allows it to happen, if God provides the time, we anticipate to do this or that. That's the point that he's making in James chapter 4. And in the book of Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 3. By the way, what kind of plans are you making? Do they include God? Do you say, if the Lord will? In Hebrews chapter 6 and in verse 3, and this we will do, watch this, if God permit. One more point. In 2 Timothy 2 and in verse 25, writing to young Timothy, encouraging him to do the work of an evangelist, Paul says, in meekness, instructing those. In some versions, like the American Standard Version, says, correcting those. But in meekness, instructing those, and the way you do that is by gospel preaching, by the way, that oppose themselves, if God, peradventure, will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. I may mention to you at the beginning of the sermon that God allows time to go on in the giving men and women opportunity to obey the gospel. The fact is, God doesn't want any to perish, but that all should come to repentance. 2 Peter 3 and then verse 9. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 and then verse 4, he said, God, who would have all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. God wants all men and women to be saved. And I think about the statement back in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and in verse 15 when Paul said, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And the Lord himself said, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost, Luke 19 and in verse 10. If God spare not, if God so clothe, if God be for us, if God so loved, if God were your Father, if God will, and if God peradventure will grant them repentance unto life. Hope that it's been beneficial to you should you be here tonight, not a Christian. I promise you, you know, there are a lot of things that change. We live in an ever-changing world. But in the midst of so much change, I tell you, you can take solace in the fact that there are some things unchangeable. Makes a good sermon. I've preached it before. Unchanging things, unchangeable. The Word of God is sure and steadfast and never change. The hope that is in Christ will never change. The reward of the faithful will never change. God will never change. Christ never change. And the list goes on and on. I tell you something else that doesn't change. I promise you that since this morning, God's plan of salvation has not changed. The same thing that will make one a Christian this morning, the same thing that will make one a Christian tonight, hear the gospel, believing, repenting of sin, confessing your faith in Christ, and being baptized for the remission of sin. It's the very same thing that I gave you this morning. And though the world stand for 1,000 years from now or longer, it never changed. So if you're not a Christian, we encourage you to do that tonight. Again, we're going to sing, this world is not my home. All in the world is going to end, and it's not going to be a permanent place for everybody, saved or lost. But the question is, when this life is over, where are you going to spend eternity? In the joys of heaven or the pains of a place called hell that is a real place and has real fire? You know, some preachers today claim, well, it's just figurative language. It's not real fire. How can you have real fire in the spiritual realm? You'll have to ask God, but God said so. And I believe God. It burneth in the lake, or lake which burneth with fire. For the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Mark 9 and Revelation 20, 12 through 15. You want to avoid that place? Obey the gospel. Should you be here tonight, you've already obeyed. You've not been living faithful, and you need to straighten things up and come back home. God's made provision for that. Acts 8 and 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession to God in prayer. We'd be happy to pray with you and for you. So don't delay. Come right now.